Well, I hope you're having a great Monday. Thank you for joining us today on Tetelestai. We began a series about a week ago talking about the eternal purpose of God. What does the Father want? What is the Son after? What is the Spirit after? And we saw that ultimately when we talked about it, God is after a family. The Father is after sons and daughters who are like His Son. Christ Jesus is looking for a bride that He can pour out His love upon and who will love Him, a body over which He is the head and through which He can express His nature, His character, His glory throughout all of creation, and a family of brothers and sisters as well. And then the Holy Spirit is looking for a temple made up of living stones that He can fill to declare the excellencies, the majesties, and the glories of the Father and the Son. Well, it's something very important that is tied to God's eternal purpose, and that is discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple? So we're going to talk about that this week, discipleship and the eternal purpose of God. So let's go ahead and get into that message.
Open up our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And going to, this week, next week, and we'll see if the Lord leads after that any further, but talking about this whole idea that we talked about 2 weeks ago on God's eternal purpose, and this morning, tying in with it, the whole concept of being a disciple, and what that means as far as following the Lord Jesus. I mean, it's, as we read last week when we were talking about Sarah and many of the people of faith in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the journey that God has called us to is not an easy journey. It's a difficult one. And Jesus promised us that it would be a difficult one. He said that, you know, basically in this world, as you follow me, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have pressures. You're going to have hardships. And he said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've defeated it. And that I have triumphed over all that will oppose you. There's dangers, like the hymn writer said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And every step that we take is going to be resisted by the powers of darkness in every way possible to hinder us as we move forward. There's a key, though. There's a key to being able to persevere, to being able to fulfill God's eternal purpose. And remember, we summed up the eternal purpose of God when we talked about it a few weeks ago, is that as a father, God wants sons and daughters who are like His Son, conformed to the image of Jesus. Jesus Christ, as the second person of the Trinity, there's two things He's after. He's after a bride, and He is also after having a body through which He can express Himself throughout all creation, in which He is the head of it. And the Holy Spirit is building a what? A temple made of living stones, according to the Apostle Peter. And that temple is inhabited by the Spirit of God, as Peter says, to declare the excellencies, the majesty, the goodness, the greatness, the love of the Son and of the Father. And when you boil all this down, really you can sum it up into one key word. The Trinity is after a family. A family that they can share their life, their love, their fellowship, their rule, their reign with throughout all of creation. But in order to accomplish all these things, obviously, as we'll see, God had to go about establishing a covenant between Himself and His Son in order to secure a people for Himself out of this world and deliver us from sin and set us free. And in bringing this family into being, He desired to have some things with us. He desired for us to be able to live in union with Him, communion with Him, in a love relationship with Him, fellowshipping with Him, and again, manifesting His nature and character throughout His creation. This is what Adam and Eve were put in the garden for, to bear His image in all the earth, to be His representatives, declaring to all the earth who He is and what He's like. And when Jesus came, He came to establish a new creation. He is the last Adam. He is the head of that new creation. And He is in the process of calling out a people unto Himself to be a part of this family and to fill the creation with his glory. And he started out by doing the most basic of things, and that is building around him a small little family. And we call them disciples. And those men were the men that he poured his life into for 3.5 years. And being a disciple of the Messiah was a very big deal. And there was a pattern established already within the culture of Christ, what a disciple was. And already a pattern established into bringing people into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. So in Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles or besets us, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary or fainting in heart. You've not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he flogs every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our benefit, so that we may share in his holiness. And all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but it's sorrowful. But to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." And then he goes on to give them words of encouragement to strengthen one another on this journey. We're going to focus on the first three verses this morning. And as we look at this, this is a big deal in this letter that he is writing to these Hebrew Christians, because so many of them were being tempted to turn away and go back to the old Levitical system. But being a disciple has to do with something more than just converting to become a Christian. There's a big difference between a convert and a disciple. When hardship comes, when persecution comes, which these people were experiencing because of their faith, converts typically fall away. Disciples do not. It's held that way throughout history. People who have just gone through a motion to convert to something without a heartfelt devotion to Christ will peel off very quickly when the pressures come. But those who have the fire of a disciple burning in them will stick and stay true to following the Lord Jesus. And Jesus emphasized this to people.
Jesus did emphasize that to people. It's more important. Jesus is not looking for converts. Jesus is calling disciples. And we'll continue talking about how important being a disciple is in relationship to the eternal purpose of God, Lord willing, when we get back together tomorrow. May the grace and peace of Christ be yours today in fullest measure.